Welcome to another Cut and Load Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.
Now, Sean, we've both been hit by the dreaded COVID out of the last few weeks.
Maybe I gave it to you.
I think you did.
Well, I did my isolation and the government said that I was free to mingle again. And I tried to be careful, but, you know.
It's amazing what you can catch over the telephone, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, let's not get into that.
Did you see they're giving the AFLW a pay rise?
I did see that. I saw that article. Obviously, it was big news last week, and that the AFL women's competition will get a 94% pay rise. That's a big pay rise.
That's a huge pay rise. I don't even think I've had a 95% pay rise from my first pay packet to today.
Well, it's a big amount and it's an interesting topic, isn't it? And I guess us two old blokes sitting here probably need to be careful about what we say and how we say it. So I'm interested in your opinion. I did a little bit of research on what people are getting paid. Obviously, the AFLW competition is certainly growing at a rapid rate and there has been certainly a push by the players, and fair enough. We all do it. Like in all sports, we're all after an increase in income revenue so that we can, for the efforts that we put in. And so they've been pushing for an increase in pay. And, of course, some people would say, hang on a minute, they should be getting paid parity with the men, which has been a topic over the last sort of 18 months as well.
There's so many different ways of looking at it. Look, for the top woman athletes that put in the work, I've got no problems about parity for pay, for, you know, equal sort of work, equal pay. I've got no problems with that at all. But the one thing that irks me a little bit is when I look at where money's been taken out of football, like, for instance, the salary cap for the SNFL men have been halved over the last couple of years. They seem to be pumping money into, you know, New South Wales and Queensland football and the women's football. I just sort of question that a little bit. But having said that, I would much rather see the money invested into upgrading skills by getting junior females out there playing the game and sort of like developing them so that we can have a strong female competition where the pay sort of is urged a little bit more. Whereas I do understand you've got to pay the players now so that, you know, the sport's attractive for young up-and-comers. So it's a catch-22.
It's one of those things, isn't it? Because there is a massive increase in people playing or girls playing footy. I think they're saying now, I was reading an article, that 25% of footballers are actually women. So that's increased dramatically. There's 629 women's team and that's grown by over 27% over the last year or two. So from if you're running football, you're saying, well, here's a really big growth area of our sport and the right thing to do is invest in it. If you're going to have a professional league, then if you don't pay people, then how are people going to, as you said, put more effort into training, improve their skills? So if you're going to have a professional league, you've got to have players really who are going to be full-time professional athletes.
Like I said, I see it as a catch-22 because you need to make it attractive for future girls, women players to sort of aspire to that. So I see that point of view. But on the other side of the coin, there hasn't been a lot of development in the youth leagues to see them come through. So I'd like to see more money sort of put into the development of the younger girls, you know, out of primary school and high school so that they can be upskilled, which will increase the level of the AFLW. That's my opinion. I think there are some worthy female players that deserve the money. I mean, there's like Erin Phillips is a natural, but I just see more along the lines of getting rid of the knockers by developing the sport.
So would you get rid of the knockers? I mean, this is the problem, isn't it? And that's what I said, like at the beginning, I'm not being facetious, like, we're two older blokes who have been interested in footy and that traditionally it has been played by men only. And so things are changing very rapidly. And sometimes we struggle to deal with change. And so the thing is, will you ever get rid of knockers of people who are going to knock women's sport or compare? We see it all the time. I mean, tennis is a prime example where we're comparing women tennis players and men tennis players and so on. And so it's there's got to be logical discussion and sensible discussion about pay and parity and equity and so on, because the question that I always would ask is, where does money come from? I think what the AFL are doing is choosing to invest in the women's competition to achieve the things that you're talking about. And I think we're seeing a big increase in money going to women. I mean, if I look now, let's talk about what the pay is. So the season coming, which is going to be played this year from August, there's going to be 10 rounds plus 4 rounds of finals. There'll now be 18 clubs. So more clubs are coming on board, 540 players. The average salary is going from $23,000 to $46,000. There's a four-tier payment system. And so tier one players, the top-level players, on average will get nearly $72,000. Contracts run from August to December, so we're talking 6 months pretty much. A tier two player is looking at about $55,000, $56,000. A tier three player, $47,000. And a tier four player, $39,000. So that's for 6 months' work. Now, there's going to be a number of players also over the 100, like obviously your marquee players are going to be over $100,000. On top of that, there's money from AFL going to the AFL Players Association, nearly $1 million to again improve football at that level. So a whole range of things like coaching, like training, like medical costs, et cetera, et cetera. So it really is, the AFL have come out and said, hey, clearly we're going to invest in women's competition.
You know, I'm all for the development of the women's game. I think it's great to give the women this type of opportunity, but there's so many other issues which sort of bother me a little bit about the sport. I mean, there are things like, for argument's sake, the rules changes every year in the men's competition, and they've got this dissent and all this type of stuff. What are they trying to do with a lot of the rule changes and a lot of the decisions that have been made? They seem to be alienating the supporter groups. So their crowds are down. They're well down. I don't know about the television ratings, but the point is there's so many changes happening at the same time. And, yes, you and I are old fellows that sort of enjoyed the game for a long time. I don't think the women's football is a big issue that's sort of distracting my interest. I think it's other things like the current umpire changes and things like that. The game itself isn't as appealing anymore, and I think while we're talking about the pay increases for the women's sport and all this and the women's football, I think there's a logical way of looking at that, but I just think there's other problems involved with sport, which is, you know, in a way that the women's pay issues is a little bit of a distraction away from that.
Well, I mean, some of the rule changes, and we're getting a bit off topic, but some of the rule changes are for safety.
Yes.
Now, you think, I mean, we're seeing now players with really severe concussion issues that are affecting their ability to go on and play. We're seeing the long-term effects. So I think it's sensible to have rules that are going to actually make it safer for the players. But remember when we got like the bumping and the tackling? That's been a big part of footy, hasn't it? Like that real tough bravo, you know, really hitting things hard. They were always things that people love to see. But, of course, now we're seeing the long-term effects of that. So it's sensible for AFL to say, hang on a minute, we've got to protect our players a bit. Now, some of the rules this year, like the dissent rule, I'm going to be honest, I'm a terrible spectator. And so I'm one of those people that's going to be rude to umpires, referees, et cetera, and I don't like that about myself, but when I'm involved in sport, I have this, like a lot of people do, you know, that white, like, you know, you're really committed and passionate. And that's not an excuse, and I have to work on that. But I do feel sorry for umpires, referees, et cetera, because when you think of it in the cold light of day, some of the things that we say and do are pretty terrible. And so should we protect our officials? Because, again, you can't play a game without them.
Yeah, look, I'm 100% in agreement with that, but it's not necessarily the umpires' faults. It's the fault of the rules makers. They're the ones that are telling the umpires to do this. And the trouble is the umpires go out and officiate games and their inconsistency is growing. There are three umpires out there. They all have different interpretations. We need to make it as simple as possible. Now, really, this dissent thing, I mean, someone puts up his hand or asks, what's that free for? And it's 50 metres, and it has cost teams games.
And it will continue to. Yeah. So players have to learn quickly. I mean, one of the things with, like you say again, I mean, when I think of pay, like if we look at, get back to that story, like Cricket Australia, women, the average pay in has gone up 22%, $40,000. If you're playing Big Bash as well, you're probably averaging 65. Now, Cricket Australia have for a long time been distributing their income differently than other sports. And so they probably had better pay for their women for longer than other sports.
Yeah, but cricket, women's cricket's been going.
It's been going for longer, time. Yeah. netball, and I do feel a bit sorry for netball because I think netball has been the women's sport in Australia that has done the hard yards.
Yes.
Like they've really had to work hard against all these competitions, men's competition, struggle to get broadcasting rights, struggle to get their sport out there, but they just haven't quit. They've worked really hard. Now, I'll tell you why I feel sorry for them. Their average pay this year is $43,000. Oh, that's a lot of money. Well, keep in mind that women professional netball, they've been going at it for a long time and they really had to do they've done the hard yards, I think, for women's sport. I think I'm fair in saying that. I think a lot of women in sport would recognise that the netball competition and women and the administrators have worked really hard to try and get paid.
Yes.
Now, if I'm a young girl who's a great athlete, am I now going to choose a path of netball or football?
Football.
Yep. And so this is why I feel sorry for netball, because they have been such a great opportunity for women to play sport at the highest level in a great professional competition. But now it's going to be really hard for them to compete against the AFLW competition. And it seems that the AFLW, their goals are very high and lofty. They want by, 226 to be the highest paid players. They probably are now. And again, that should not stop footy players getting paid more, but I do feel sorry for netball.
Look, you bring up a really good point. I mean, look, I follow women's softball, and as you know, South Australia recently won their first national title in 56 years. Yet, and that level, I'm telling you, it's really good. Some of those catchers for left fielder talking, some of the players, they're first-class plays. They're as good as the men play baseball, and they don't get paid a cent. They just go out and play the game. And they've done that for many years, and they've developed their standard to a high standard, yet they're not getting paid. And then I see sort of like AFL footballers, some of the AFLW footballers, you see some of those girls there, they're sort of like their skill level may not necessarily be sort of the standard that they're hoping to be, and as a consequence, they're now going to get paid for playing at that level. Does that now mean they'll train harder and upskill?
Well, I think so. If you are, like, you think back in the really early days of men's footy, people were working and because they weren't getting paid, they weren't making a living at it. So we would probably say now the standard of football is much better than it was 30 years ago. Why? Because they are full-time professional. Like, in comparison, the average men's salary this year, $372,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's 9 players over $1 million.
$1 million a year.
So yeah. They're definitely full-time professional. Yes. So that's all you focus on. And, of course, this will now give the women the same opportunity in that sense to be able to focus fully on footy so that, therefore, the standards should get better. Going back to what you were saying before, like I'm interested in where the money comes from, and I can only think that what I said before, that AFL decided to invest in women's football, which they're saying is a smart thing. Spectator point of view, looking at stats from this season, total for the year was just over 50,000 people went to watch.
Every minor round game for the women.
And so you go, that's not much. You compare that to the men's round one, 362,000 went to watch the footy. Very different. But then you start looking at things like TV viewing, and yes, of course the men are still high, but the women are increasing. Like they had nearly 1 million viewers for round one footy. So that's pretty big, right? And so things like that are starting to build momentum. Sponsors are coming on board because they're saying, hey, we actually want to be involved in that too. And so the women's footy is now bringing income in, I don't think they're probably bringing, and again, I could be wrong here. I'm happy to be proved wrong. I don't think they're bringing the money in to meet the pay they're getting, but no. I think it's AFL going, clearly, we are going to invest in this competition.
Well, look, this is a subject we can discuss, especially later in August when it starts up again. Let's sort of revisit it then.
We will do.
So here's another Carlin Lay Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.